So in Gaylord, the last year I think we were there, Diana and I made the decision to join a gym. So we were already trying, like with diet and what we might call exercise, to be healthy. So this is not about like being a bodybuilder. I did weightlifting in high school. That kind of rigor is way behind me. But we just thought, you know, what we needed was to join a gym, a place to go, something that was, you know, had all the equipment. And it was, I don't know if it was called Powerhouse, was it? And so we joined this gym. I made the mistake. She didn't want me to pay for the whole 6 months ahead of time, but I don't know what happened. I paid for the whole 6 months on her card. And so it was one of those places where you could go all day or all night. It was just down the road from us, a couple miles from us. And I remember I went a few times until I saw one of my church members there. And I thought, there they saw me, big old bloated pastor, sweating like a hog, in my tattered clothes, obviously out of shape. Not that I thought sucking it in could, you know, like hide it on Sunday, but still something goes on in your mind, you know. And I thought, I don't think I can go out in public. But the truth is, until you make a commitment to get some kind of exercise, to expend some kind of effort, health will elude you. And we need to be healthy. So it doesn't mean we have to go to a gym, right? It doesn't mean you have to be a power lifter. It doesn't mean you have to be a power walker. But you have to get out and do things to give yourself some exercise. I see James Bridgman and his family often shooting baskets down there by the lake. And I'd honk, but I'm afraid whoever's in front of me might get mad at me, and I don't want to experience road rage. It is no different when we talk about discipleship. And what being a disciple, that kind of close follower with Jesus is. So we can talk about the theory of being a disciple. So those are the ideas, and that's what we've been talking about for 7 weeks, and this is week 8. And the time comes where you got to hit the gym, where you got to put in the work, where your life begins to show the theory that you agree with, if indeed you agree with what we've been talking about what it means to be a disciple. So today we're talking about serving, where we actually turn our discipleship outward to help other people, not just inward to make sure we're following Jesus and adhering to him and becoming like him. But we use that. We use it in the church, and we use it outside of the church. And our opening scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it talks about spiritual gifts. Because our call to service is not a call to decide what we ought to do. God gives us gifts to direct us in where we will be effective in serving one another. So verses 4 through 7, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Look at that word in there, work. That's where the gym comes in. There's a work going on here, and we're doing a work, but God is working in us to make sure that our work is not in vain, and it doesn't become about all us, or we don't get overextended and do more, more than he intended for us to do. So we're just going to look at that for a little bit today as we continue to look at what it means to be a disciple, that disciple who adheres to Jesus. We want to follow his way. We're becoming more like him as we do so. That is what all people who are called to follow Jesus are supposed to be called, disciple. I hope you say that I'm a disciple. I hope you say that. You can look in the mirror and say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. You can say to your spouse, I'm a disciple of Jesus. You can say to yourself sometimes, self-talk, I'm a disciple of Jesus. So number one in your handout, if you have one, it is our true identity to be serving. It is our true identity. It's actually who I am, and it's who you are. It's not everything about who you are, but it is part of your true identity. Ephesians 2:10 is very clear, for we are God's workmanship. Now, some versions say craftsmanship, that is, God made us special, created in Christ Jesus, and here it comes, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is our identity. We're not meant only to know who he is and learn about him and even come together and learn about him together or even stand up and worship him together. We're called to do things he's prepared for us to be doing in this world. Adam and Eve were busy tending a garden. Even before sin, work was a part of that. Service, accomplishing things. So we have two things that are only gained when we, you know, approach them the right way. If you don't approach things the right way, you won't get the right result that you want. We see that all the time, but sometimes we still kind of hammer on, if we just did more of the thing that's not quite right, maybe it'll work. But anyway, the first one, A, is life purpose. We need a reason to be here. Now, if you're having a good time and life is going pretty well for you and you don't think much about purpose, you know, you're going along your merry way, but then when something happens in your life that gives you a challenge, maybe gives you a pause to think, and you start asking the questions, well, why am I here? I mean, what's the value of me being here? That can be, I don't know if you've ever been in that spiral. I've been in that spiral where you start thinking, what am I accomplishing? What is my purpose? Why am I here? When we invest in this thing called service as a disciple, we find, because God reveals it to us along the way, that we have a purpose. We have something worthwhile to live for. The suicide rates in our country, there are lots of reasons why that's gone up, but there's a big one in there, and that is people feel like they don't have any purpose. The Bible is chock full of the purposes that we're here. We have a general purpose of sharing the gospel with people who don't know Jesus. I mean, that's a lofty purpose. I'm glad we're not responsible for the salvation of other people, but that we have this call to purpose. But it's more when we're talking about serving this morning, I'm talking about your individual makeup, who you are and who God made you to be, and the needs that are represented here in our own congregation, in the combined congregations of our community, and the unsaved community in which we live, and they need to hear from us and be ministered to by us. Life purpose is the first, be life satisfaction. These are two sides of a coin, and you really can't separate them, but it helps me to think about it that way. And so you get to be exposed to the way I think. That probably causes you some concern sometimes. Hopefully not today. To have a life that is satisfying. So we have this, you know, split world. We have the kingdom of men and the earth, which is not God's kingdom, and we have God's kingdom. They're different. They're in many ways polar opposites, though there is some crossover in there somewhere. Sometimes we think that the kingdom of God is a call to poverty. It's a call to poor-spiritedness, sorrow and mourning and moaning. I'm reading Lamentations right now, Jeremiah the weeping prophet. Boy, oh boy, that's not stuff to make you feel excited about life. But, you know, life does that to us. And sometimes we get that idea about serving God. That's not what he has in mind. He has satisfaction. And being a disciple, forsaking the ways of the world for the ways of God's kingdom, brings us satisfaction. Studies prove that expended effort to accomplish purposes adds value to you and gives you a sense of satisfaction. Now, I knew this. So after I was done with all of kind of my outline, I'm going, okay, now I need to look at what's out there because I know that's true. I want to look at studies. I encourage you to do that too. You Google the effects of effort in people's lives, effort to accomplish good things and what it does. It brings meaning to people's lives. Now, in my early days, I was lazy. My dad hated that. He actually called me a bum once. He got me a job at a factory he worked. And I worked 2 weeks, and I pretended I was sick, and then I didn't show up, and I lost that job. And if you knew my dad, he had a work ethic. Well, praise the Lord, I have it now, and I've had it for a long time, but back then I didn't. And I thought, if I could just pursue, you know, relaxation and doing nothing. You've heard me joke about wanting to retire at the age of 14. That was a real thing in my mind. That was underlying that desire. I just felt like the best thing to do was whatever I wanted, with little effort possible, and We think that culturally, look at all the ads about what's there to save you time, and it never works, by the way. You know that, you've realized that. But the lure, the bait is always, and then you'll have more downtime. And we think, boy, if I could just have more downtime. But studies show that more downtime leads to less of a sense of satisfaction and purpose, and it leads to negative places. It leads to depression. It leads to substance abuse. It leads to all sorts of things that are negative. Interesting, one of the studies I came across said the goal has to be right. If there's too much striving, if the effort is too high to achieve your goal, that's not positive. But if it's too easy, then your focus on achieving that goal, you drift, you have goal drift, and you get involved in other things. That's why kids who excel at academics sometimes need to be challenged by skipping a grade or going to special classes, because we know what happens. They get bored and then they get in trouble, right? It's true of all of us. There is effort, and if we're not doing it, we're not finding our true identity. By the way, this was Jesus' identity, Mark 10:45. He said, "For even the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." We don't give our lives as a ransom for many, but we're a disciple. We are disciples if you've accepted Christ into your heart to have him be the leader of your life, and you're adhered to him, and you're expending your effort to deny yourself and to find his way, and then serve as we're going today, and we find that we have purpose and we have satisfaction. We have the lure of other identities. Actually, identity politics and identity labeling is a scourge in our culture right now. I want to be like my group of friends, or I want to be like that famous person I admire. I want an occupation that looks like, it has a lot of attention. And as I said, infinite leisure, which was once my goal, it tears us down. It's not our true identity. It's not fulfilling. It's not a life of purpose. So number one is it's our identity. Number two is there's true impact when you serve. Now, this is kind of tied to purpose. When we have a purpose, it's kind of builds us up. I get to accomplish something. I'm involved in something important. But as we extend that thought ahead, it's because I'm making a difference somewhere. We have an innate desire to make a difference. That's part of our image of God that is in us. He's the huge difference maker that turns hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, hearts that are against him into hearts that can follow him and accept him. True impact. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, Peter adds one of his perspectives on this use of serving and gifts. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve another. That's the effort. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. I love that Peter does that. He states a truth and he can't help but saying, "Whoo, that was so good. I got to give God the glory." We need to be more like that, right? And be cognizant of the fact that God is with us all the time. And when he reminds us of truth, say, "Oh, glory and praise to him." And bringing glory to God, that is maximum impact. Because when we bring glory to God, we are taking the focus off ourselves and getting people in the best position to come into contact personally with the God who makes the changes in them that we can't make. I heard on my way in this morning, I heard one of the radio hosts on, it wasn't Smile FM, it was the other one whose name escaped me, and he was talking to non-Christians and saying, "Maybe you just tuned in by accident. I know there's some cause for you to think maybe Christians are mean and cold-hearted, and sometimes we don't get it right." And he was talking to them about, but this is not what the Bible calls us to be as Christians, and I'm sorry if you had that negative experience. We have to be, we have to be truthful about that. Some Christians, and even us sometimes, don't do the right thing in the right way, and we can offend and to drive people away. from this message of the gospel. But the true impact of accepting our identity of being workers or servers, as Jesus was, brings glory to God. And as I said, it takes an other focus away, the antidote to self-centeredness is serving, because it takes something to lay down the time it takes to serve someone else. You want to invest that time in things you have to do, legitimate good things, and you give that in service to the Lord in serving one another. It's easier in the church and maybe more difficult outside. It depends on how you're wired. And it's mission fulfilling. We're called to make disciples. And how do we make disciples? By being a disciple. And a disciple imitates Jesus in kindness and bringing what's needed. And the example of Jesus and how he served, not only in this great, grand unfolding of the mystery of God in Christ. So it's interesting, whenever you read about the mystery, Jesus was the mystery until he came. There is no more mystery. It's following him. He did more than the spiritual work. He healed blind people. He made the lame walk. He multiplied loaves and fishes and made people so they could have something to eat when they listened to a message from him. So it was serving him, really nitty-gritty places where people needed to be served. And it's as we exercise our identity as God made us that we have maximum impact to bring God to people. Let's just think about how this adds up and where we've been in our disciple process here in these 8 weeks, and including this week, the eighth week. Week one, we talked about the definition. The disciple, another word that defines that is adherent, which is the word picture of glue. I'm adhered, I'm stuck to. I'm following Jesus, so that's how I want to follow. I want to be stuck to him. And the theme was, I have a part with Jesus, not a part of him. I have a part with him. We're together in this, and I'm following him in this. Week two, we talked about counting the cost. And so when we're called to be a disciple, we do need to think about what it means, because what we're called to do, if we're going to follow Jesus, there's only one way you can follow Jesus, and that is you have to deny yourself. Because there's competition going on between what I want and what God wants. Rarely do those things parallel until we come into the knowledge of Jesus as our own Savior. And then my desires become his desires, because I'm adhering and becoming like him. And the other half of counting the cost is I deny myself and I take up the cross, which is I accept the consequences of following Jesus. The consequences in the world, because they don't want or like who Jesus is and what he stands for. And to deny myself means I'm giving up some of my time, and the consequences are, it does have a consequence, so we do that. But the positive side of those consequences is what week three was about. Whatever we deny, God replaces with something better, something eternal, something that counts now and counts forever and ever. We always get the great end of the stick. We never get the short end when we deny ourselves and follow Christ. And so week four, we talked about the requirement for being a disciple is you must surrender time. It takes time to follow Jesus. It takes time. In week five, we talked about the fact that the Bible, our foundation, we need to take time to make sure that is our foundation, that we begin to read it and know it. And when we know it, we begin to practice it. So you see how these things add up. When I make sure my foundation is sure in him and I'm following him and I want to and I know what I'm getting myself into generally, though as Dan reminded us, there are unexpected things you don't know, and they're hard things. We have some people facing some awful hard things today right here in our midst. But we link that together. We've given him time. And so in week six, we talked about connected community. Now you see how this is coming together. We're in this together. We're a community together. And so there are people in this room who have needs and no way to supply them. And there are other people in this room who have resources that person needs. And they're called through their gifting and resources to serve and fill those needs. That's in-house. That's family of God stuff. This also applies, though, outside in the world. This actually the last week of our series, which is also OCC Collection Sunday, will zero in more on that outward aspect, because it begins here, and we discover here what's happening. And then Pastor Mike talked last week about prayer in week 7 and how we ask God, because it's something to be able to serve. You're putting yourself at risk to put yourself up front, to commit yourself to do a certain kind of thing, a certain way, sometimes a repetitive position that you fill and continue to fill. And sometimes it's that spot need that needs filling, and you have the resources to do it. And then today we're talking about that actual doing of it. So it's your identity to serve, because it was Jesus' identity, and we're adhering to him. The true impact of a life of Christ comes through serving, not just in your private time, though you need your private Bible and prayer time. So number 3, all that's left is to get engaged. That means get involved in serving. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Are you engaged, and where are you engaged in serving? And I'm talking about primarily serving us here at LFM Church as we serve one another to make sure ministries are happening, ministries that God directs us. So whenever we do a ministry, the reason we do it and continue doing it is that someone has a passion to do it. They believe God has put it on their heart. They have gifts in certain way. No one person has to have all gifts to conduct a ministry. We all need to work that together. And then we assemble that based on that passion, and people join. And that's what we do. When we find that somebody moves along and there's a ministry we might be doing, but nobody really has the kind of wherewithal and all the gifts to do it, it doesn't happen. So I would use our basketball program as that. Doug Jordan, it was his passion to do that, and he had some assistants, but nobody ever, when he became physically unable to do it, we don't have upwards right now. At some point, somebody might come forward and say, I have a passion to do that. It's why Pastor Mike and Cindy joined the OCC team. They had a passion to join Doug and Doris in doing the OCC team. So that's kind of how we do things, and all of us have a place either in leadership or involvement in a team to be involved in that. And I just want to challenge you to do that, and what I want to do is give you some resources. So you'll see some things up on the screen. It's lfmchurch.net, and on that homepage there's a button that says find a place to serve. All the buttons are the same color. I can't figure out why they don't let me color different buttons. It's green background and white letters. Find a place to serve. On that page you'll find some resources. You'll find some spiritual gift information. 22 separate spiritual gifts. It's an interesting subject. There are some that give only 8 gifts, and so we just have, I got the largest one we could possibly do. You need to go and click on each one of these buttons and read through their scriptural support. There's some description of what those gifts look like. There is a button that are serving opportunities that will open up a PDF file, or there's a JPEG file of that sheet. That's kind of an overview of what ministries we have going here now. So this is all stuff you can pray about as you engage in last week's topic of prayer. Lord, what about my identity, and where should I serve to make sure I'm walking in maximum impact in the kingdom, not the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of God? Also on there, you'll find serving and leading values. I've wanted to do a series on this. I never have. So I'm just going to do it real quick right now. To serve here, we have the acronym PEA, pursuing a passion for God, excellence, pursuing excellence in your service, and attitude, having an attitude, the right kind of attitude. We challenge all our volunteers. If you're in a smaller group, I know leadership teams seen this, and several teams have seen these out on a handout kind of thing. And then leadership, when you step up into leadership, we practice the PEAs or the P's, and we add TAG tag. Tell people why it matters. So this is also a challenge. If you serve on a team and your leader doesn't tell you why what you're doing matters, say, why does this matter? We need to know. That's my motivation. If I know Why it matters, it won't matter. The obstacle that's in my way, I'll keep going. Oh, gosh, I forgot the other two. There's two more. Anyway, it's there. You read it there, and there's an explanation of it there, the serving and leading values. And finally, I added a button. This has been on our website for a couple years, but I added a link to a gift teaching series that we did in 2021 here at LFM. It's an 8-week series on gifts and using gifts. If you want to explore more of that, the first 3 weeks are foundations of why gifting and how gifting and those kinds of things. And then 4 through the end is more of, you know, identifying and how do I get involved in doing that. And on that page, there's a form, a submission form, where you've looked at these resources, you've prayed and agree that as a disciple of Christ, you have a role to play in his kingdom that brings maximum impact, will bring you purpose and a sense of fulfillment. It's all positive, and you want to start experimenting, because that's the biggest thing. You can do personality profiles, you can do spiritual gift inventories, we can do all this document stuff and form work, but there's no substitute for you saying, I think God may be serving in this area, want me to serve in this area. So you just send that off to me, click the link, and we'll help you get, what word did I use? Engaged in the ministry here. It'll change you. There's nothing that gives such a significant growth step in your spiritual maturity as when you submit to being in service. It does something. It brings everything together. You see things much more clearly. So regarding our annual elections, there's going to be more stuff that's kind of like this with gifts mix and needs of things we need to elect. We do have some elected positions that are only membership required, and they're denoted on the ministry opportunity form with an asterisk. You need to get involved. So the question is, where will I serve? That's what I'm sending you away with. Go to that website. If you need paper copies of anything, if you go, I'm not online, but I'd like to see this stuff, call me, text me, somehow get a hold of me. I got all that stuff. I can print them out in a heartbeat. The ball's in your court. If you want, as a disciple, to be engaged and find meaning and impact, and this is where discipleship brings fruit, where the flower blooms, where the fragrance is released, both in our midst and in our community. This is where it happens. God has made you to do that. So the ball's in your court. So before we close, I have one more thing. It's not related to this series, but Pastor Mike prayed about the election coming up, and you probably know that pastors are not allowed to back candidates or we could lose our nonprofit status, but we have a moral obligation to talk about things that have moral implications. And so I want to talk about proposal 3 of the 3 proposals. And I've put together a little handout. Matter of fact, it's on the far end of the info booth, right next to a voter guide, which I thought they were going to give us comparisons of all candidates and issues. It's only the governor. So you can pick that up and see where those two candidates stand. I feel like I have an obligation to speak about this as a Christian, as a pastor, and as a member of a denomination that is pro-life. And so what is on the front of this is the denominational stand on abortion. It's no secret. The government knows. They know our book of discipline. They have to know. We have to submit all those documents. We are a pro-life church. What I have on the inside is the text of what would be added to the Michigan Constitution if the proposal passes. Now, what you've seen is the wording of the proposal. What you probably haven't seen is what it will attach to the Michigan Constitution. I'm not reading any of those things to you. The handout's there for you to read through yourself. You need to be informed to make this church. Remember, we're talking about disciple. It comes into play. Amazing how this comes into play. So the last section on the inside is conflict with discipleship. This is mine, by the way. My name isn't on it, but you can put my name on it and give it to whomever you want. I'm not afraid. This is moral ground. This is God ground. So I have outlined 3 conflicts with discipleship that a yes vote for this proposal would produce. That's what I want to share. Number 1, This adds to our Constitution a fundamental right granted to an individual, rather than the disciple saying, I'm denying myself and following God. Instead, it's saying, no, this is about me. Now, there's positives and negatives we could talk about, but here is the basement for me. And the right is to reproductive freedom. That means abortion, but it can mean any medical or any other thing that has to do with any part of your body that's used for reproduction. We have other issues, gender issues and things that are involved in that, that give an individual a right. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. I believe this fundamental right granted to any individual, and by the way, this isn't age-related, it's any individual. That's one of the conflicts I see. The second is this: healthcare professionals determine what life is rather than God. You'll read it in there when you read what statute is added to our Constitution if this passes. Healthcare professional, which is in itself an undefined term, and it says that it would determine when viability is, or that is when a baby can survive outside of the womb without any medical procedure like a preemie on event. It could be that. Psalm 139, 13 through 16, the psalmist speaking to God, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written down before one of them came to be. God is the author of life. He is the definer of life, not healthcare professionals. And my third concern, in the case of minors, the state replaces the God-ordained role of parental authority in any decision regarding that body and that reproductive freedom in a minor. Without parental consent or notification, a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old could do things to their body. Paul said in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. There are more concerns. These are a way that I express three concerns I have with this proposal. And I have no problem urging you, if you are a disciple, to vote no. If you're not a disciple, I would love for you still to vote no. But we are bound as disciples to follow God, not man. Make sure you grab one of those. There's 25, and I can print more if you need. And let's stand and pray. And then praise team's going to come up, and we're going to sing the doxology and give God the glory, because no matter what happens in elections, we get to follow God anyway, and he will preserve and protect us. What a comfort that is, right? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your life of service. Man, it would be really easy if you just came and was a Lord, and you put on a big robe and a crown, and you said, I'm over you, and come kneeling to me in fear and trembling, but you didn't do that. You came as one who serves. You were a carpenter before you announced your ministry, your spiritual ministry that saves the world, or has the potential for anyone who says yes to you to save the world. You served over and over again, and your dying on the cross was your high service, an act which we couldn't do, which wouldn't make any difference if we were up on a cross, but because you are holy without error or blemish, you made that sacrifice in our place, in part so that we could imitate you in our service and bring to our world love and caring, filling in gaps where people have needs, doing things in the church that you called together to make sure that we, with intentionality, live a life for you and communicate to others that you love them and so do we, just like we want to write in those shoe boxes. And even, Lord, in light of this proposal and that information, we can be seen as a church of being unfeeling toward people who have issues relating to pregnancies. And I ask your help, that you would help us be a church that doesn't ignore that there are things that people go through and questions they have, and any answer you have is not done in a militant way. It is done out of love. And we need to be a loving church and enfold those in conflict over this and any other issue where there's confusion and need. So help us do that. Help us to be obedient to you in service, but obedient to you in all the other actions we take as well. Give us, Lord, the sense of you as we leave this place and go and do whatever else this day contains for us. But I also pray, Lord, if anyone has not made this decision to come to you as their Lord and Savior and may enter into discipleship, that you would help them cross that line today by just saying, Lord, I know you did all of those things for my benefit, and even though it's confusing, I don't understand all of it, I want all of that benefit. I want to be close to you. I want to know who you are. I want to have purpose and fulfillment in life. So I turn my life over to you. Help me walk now in the body of believers, this road of blessing in Jesus. And Lord, if people do that this morning or at any other time that they watch this, that they'll let me know or some other Christian know so we can surround them in prayer and love and help them on this walk that's difficult at times. Oh, so rewarding, and then forever. No problems, no worries, no sad tears, no death. Oh, Lord, how sweet that sounds. Bring it soon, I pray. And draw us close to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
My offering this morning, you know, you can.